Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Jesse DePlantis here. Thank you for tuning into the broadcast today. My wife, Kathy, is a great teacher and preacher of the gospel, and we want to bring you into one of her sermons that she's ministering. It's called End Time Instructions from Jesus. Now, that's going to be good. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus is coming. I ask you a question. Are you ready? All of us need end time instructions, not from people's opinions, but from Jesus himself. So let's go into this wonderful, wonderful teaching. This is part one that the Lord gave Kathy to preach on, and you are going to be blessed. Get a pencil and paper and take some notes. Title of it is End Time Instructions from Jesus, part one. Watch this and be blessed.
Matthew chapter 24. The title of my message is End Time Instructions from Jesus. End Time Instructions from Jesus. Anybody want some instructions from Jesus? You know, there's so much been going on this week. A lot of us have probably watched a lot on TV and seen what's been going on in Israel and the Middle East. And we're just curious about what's going to happen. And, you know, you meet people that wonder, well, is this the end? Is this that great war that the Bible talks about? Is Jesus coming? You know, and a lot of us say, yes, please come. I'm ready for him. I said, please come. Come quickly, the Bible tells us to pray that. Amen. I want him to come quickly, amen, don't you? But there's some things still that must happen, but really there's no, I've heard it said that there really isn't any other prophecies that have to happen before the rapture of the church occurs. There's some lining up going on. I believe we're in the last of the last days, and we're gonna learn some things this morning about all of this, and we're gonna study up what God is saying. But we're going to start in Matthew 24 and go just a few other places, but mostly we're going to read this chapter. Because a few days before Jesus' crucifixion, Jesus gave what is considered the most important prophetic material in all of Scripture. And that's really significant because almost 30% of the Bible is prophecy. So it's important that you know that Jesus had things to say about what we're experiencing today and what we're going to see in the world till he returns. Amen? So let's just start reading in Matthew chapter 24. Read verse 1, 2, and 3 first of all. And I'm reading from the King James Bible. It says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily, I say unto you that there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Some translations say the end of the age. Now, the Mount of Olives was a fitting place for the disciples to ask Jesus these questions, because this was the place where the prophet Zechariah prophesied that the Messiah would stand when he returned with all of his saints to the earth to reign. Now, I'm going to pause right here for a moment, because on Wednesday nights, we've been learning and talking about how if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a saint. You are. You know, that's hard for a lot of people that live in this Catholic area to swallow. I had trouble with it for a while because, you know, I've always thought of a saint as somebody who's dead. But if you read the New Testament, you're going to see often over and over, and even in the Old Testament, how God's people are called saints. So hello, saints. We have a great future in God. Amen. Amen. So when Jesus returns, he's going to return with his saints to reign on the earth. Now, this second coming is going to be personal, it's going to be visible, and it is called the second coming or the return of Christ. And I'm just giving you a little quick overview. This is not going to teach everything about the whole end times. Could not do that in one day. We'd be here for days, maybe weeks. Whole volumes, whole libraries have been written on this. So we're going to touch the highlights of it, okay? But this second coming will happen 7 years after the rapture of the church. And that is it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us that Jesus will come in the clouds, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and then the saints which are alive, so you got to be a saint if you're alive here on the earth. Well, and you can read that for yourself in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. He says, which are alive will be caught up or raptured to meet them in the air, Jesus and those that have gone on before us. That's going to be a glorious time. Amen? Amen. The church will be in heaven during at the marriage supper of the Lamb during the great tribulation. We're going to learn a little bit more about that in our teaching today. So let's continue reading in Matthew chapter 24, just verses 4 and 5. Just see how Jesus answers those questions. Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." The first end time instruction from Jesus is, don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Notice that the very first thing out of his mouth when they asked him all these questions is, don't be deceived. And deception or misinformation or even disinformation, which is new terms we're starting to hear about in these days, has become so commonplace today. It's hard to know who to trust because there's so much fake news. I even call it snake news. Because it's one thing to be fake, but it's another thing to be snake because you're doing this intentionally. Right? There's actually a term, you may not have heard of it, called perception management. And it was developed by the Department of Defense. And they have a definition of it actually in their manuals. Public relation firms now offer perception management, or PM as some of them call it, as their specialty. In many cases, PMs don't just spin the facts, they create facts and then sell them to the world as truth. That's what happened to us a few years back when every news station and on the whole world had the same story. So when they tried to launch a character assassination against this ministry for daring to believe God for something that most corporate companies have, an aircraft to do your business. So the point of that was so that not just us, but anybody else who would dare to start believing for more would just cower down and hide in a corner. But God is calling us to stand up and be bold for him, and so that he can give us the wealth of the wicked. So that the wealth of the wicked has been laid up for the just, but so many of the just is sitting back in a corner hiding, worried about what people are going to say. Yes. You're never going to get what God wants you to have if you're going to be caught up in that whole propaganda machine. That's snake news. The blessing of God has always been God's promise for his children. First words God spoke to Adam and Eve. I often have said this was blessing words. Multiply, replenish, be fruitful, subdue. They forgot that one, got everybody in trouble. But Jesus is about to make that whole thing right, amen? Yes. Amen. These perception management people are professional liars that create talking points and relentlessly pump them out across the world until they get everybody repeating their lie. This is why you hear that. We keep thinking, how can they lie with that straight face? You know they're lying. You see them on TV. You know, you used to hear that joke about lawyers. You know, how do you know if they're lying? Their lips are moving. Well, it's true with a whole lot of other people. They've compromised their lives so many times, so much, that all they can do is repeat what someone else tells them to say because they have an agenda. This is what we are up against today. Just over a week ago, we heard about a barbaric slaughter of over 1,300 people in Israel, including 29 Americans, by Hamas. A lot of people don't know that that's an acronym for that Islamic army. Same evil stuff as ISIS. This evil organization has committed the worst atrocity since the Jewish people, since the Holocaust. And we must all stand with Israel against Hamas and its supporters for their savage and brutal attack on innocent babies, women, and children. If you believe that, give the Lord a shout in this room. Let your voice be heard. I've been doing a little research and I found this so shocking. You know, the devil will tell you what he's going to do. So often people think, oh, that's too big. He can't really mean that. This is a quote from Mohammed al-Zayar, co-founder of Hamas, and it was published in December of last year. You may have heard it. It says, this is their plan. This is their mission statement, if you will. The entire planet will be under our law. There will be no more Jews or Christians, Christian traitors. The entire 510 million square kilometers of planet Earth will come under a system where there is no injustice, no oppression, no Zionism, no treacherous Christianity. They are totally deceived, thinking that that's them. But they're the ones with the injustice. They're the ones with the oppression. They're the ones who are treacherous. You saw what they did just recently. Amen. These people are totally deceived by the devil, and many are demon-possessed. That's what we're dealing with today in this world that we're in. That's why I want us to always remember the first end time instruction from Jesus is don't be deceived. And the whole purpose of the way they're flaring their lips, if you want to talk about it that way, is to shut you up. So you'd hide up and be afraid. I'm not afraid of the devil. The devil is afraid of me. You need to let yourself know that. You have to realize that the devil is the one who's terrified. He's the one who's shouting all this stuff because he's really afraid of what the church would do if they would ever just take a glimpse of who they are in Christ. The one who kicked him out of heaven, the one who's going to kick him in the lake of fire is our Lord and our high priest. Amen? And we need to be standing for him loud and strong. And let the chips fall where they may. Because I have an eternal destiny. And the word tells me that if I deny him before men, he's going to deny me before my God. And I will not have that. Hallelujah. 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 Let's turn to John chapter 14. Now, y'all stay in 24 because we're going to go back to that. I want us to read the whole chapter this morning. And this is going to be food for your soul. This is going to be words that's going to come back and ring in your ears when you hear the devil spout out his propaganda and his lie machine. Amen? Amen. You have to hear it so it can come back to your remembrance. Yes. Jesus was always practical. The disciples wanted to know when these things would be, but the first thing Jesus told them was, take heed that no man deceive you. Is the most important thing that we need to know today to stand against deception. The fact is, whenever you look for signs, we become very susceptible to being deceived. Jesus said that there will be many false prophets around with counterfeit signs of spiritual power and authority, especially in the last days. The Bible calls them lying wonders. See, the only sure way to keep from being deceived is to focus on Jesus Christ and his words. John 14, verse 16 and 17 says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I love that. Jesus gave this promise to his disciples and to us during that Last Supper. See, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. We don't need to be afraid. We don't need to be fearful. If we yield to the flesh, we're a cooked goose, as they say. But if we yield to God and his words, we're strong. Jesus told us that the Holy Spirit is your comforter. He is the Spirit of truth, and he will expose the deceiver. You will know in your knower, as they say. Learn to follow the Spirit of God within you. So often we get this check within us and we say, oh, it can't be that. But it is that many times. Learn to train your senses, exercise your senses to know the difference between good and evil. The Bible tells us that we need to be doing this. The more you do it, the stronger your spirit will get. The inner man will begin to recognize it right from the beginning. You know, it's just something that even a kid will know. They know somebody when somebody's evil. You notice that? My daughter had this precious bulldog named Winky who just passed. And we were talking about how wonderful Winky is and how he loved everybody. There was only one person that ever came to that house that he didn't like, and it was a plumber. That plumber had a lot of grief. But even a dog has some sense. I mean, there's something about this plumber that we don't know about, but Winky knew. But I'm just saying, we know, there's something within us that God will show us if we trust him, amen? I know that's a silly illustration in a lot of ways, but you know, we've recognized it many times in our lives. Sometimes when a kid don't want to go with somebody, listen to that, amen? We need to learn to follow our spirit. Keep your place in John 14, because we're going to come back there to read one more verse of scripture, but go back again to Matthew 24. You see, you realize that the words that we're reading in John 14 was during the Last Supper. And here this is the words in Matthew 24 is right after the Last Supper, where Jesus is walking with his disciples and continuing to teach them just before he goes to the cross. So let's continue reading in Matthew chapter 24, verse 6, all the way through 12. And we're going to comment on a few things. There's no way we could cover all of it, but we're going to center in on what I feel the Lord wants us to talk about today. Verse 6, again, the King James Version. It's on the screens if you don't have the words with you. It says, "And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." That's different places. "All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because the iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Second end time instruction from Jesus is don't be troubled. So the first thing he says is don't be deceived. Now he's telling you don't be troubled. Don't look at how things are. You know, the prophecies that we read sometimes have a near fulfillment and some are a later fulfillment. That's how prophecy is. Sometimes it's immediate and then sometimes it's also in a different way for later on. So we're not going to go and get into the whole detail of that, but I just want you to know that Jesus doesn't want you to be troubled. Amen. He's got the whole world in his hands. Amen? Yes. The whole world in his hands. He can handle this. And this has been something that's been planned out since before the foundations of the world. He was the lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. Yes. And so this process is going to play out. But as a believer, you don't need to be deceived. You don't need to be troubled. God is going to guide you and direct you and protect you. Amen? See, famines, earthquakes, and conflicts have always been the result of living in a fallen world. Jesus said these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. But when Jesus said these are the things are the beginning of sorrows, he indicated that these things are going to get worse. So we have to know that. That's why it's important that you stay strong in God and you keep and stay in the Word of God and you pray and you seek God, you know, because God has a plan to bring you out victorious. He said, "See that you be not troubled." The New Living Translation says, "Don't panic." The Passion Translation says, "Don't panic or give in to your fears, for the breaking apart of this world's system is destined to happen." Message Bible says, "Keep your head and don't panic." We got to keep our stuff together, as they say. Amen? That's the way to not be troubled. You can do that in God. God wouldn't ask you to do that if you could not do it. Let's turn back to John 14 again, and like I said, stay back. Keep your finger, if you have a Bible, in Matthew 24. We'll be back to that. But regardless of what happens in this world, remember the second instruction from Jesus is don't be troubled. The only way to combat troubling thoughts is with the words of Jesus. Take no thought saying, "What's going to happen? Is this the end of the world? What's going to happen to my family?" Don't take those thoughts. Stand strong in God. John 14, verse 27 gives us the key. Jesus told us, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." So Jesus left us his peace, and it's not the kind of peace that the world gives. Jesus is not promising the absence of storms or wars. He often said, in this world, you're going to, in fact, it's John chapter 16. He says, in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Don't be troubled. Don't be deceived. I have overcome the world. I've deprived it of its power to harm you, the Amplified says. So we have a decision who we're going to believe, our flesh, our mind, or the Word of God. I'm telling you, I'll give you a good hint. Believe the Word of God. It's going to make all the difference in eternity. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, you know it and I know it. The world is in a panic. But you and I don't have to be troubled or afraid. Why? Because of who Christ is. Jesus told us things would get crazy before he came back. Boy, that's happening right now, isn't it? He also told us how we could overcome troubles until he returns. Well, you know, St. John 14, 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, think about that for a minute. A comforter. Like Kathy said, Jesus didn't promise the absence of wars or storms, but we know how to go through those things. He said, be of good cheer. Now, that's kind of a hard statement. How? Why? How? He overcame the world. If Jesus is an overcomer, you need to be an overcomer. You have the joy of the Lord, which is your strength. Think about that. People that ask me that all the time. My God, with everything going crazy, but Jesse, you don't lose your joy. Why would I want to lose my strength? It don't make no difference. I made up my mind. The joy of the Lord's mine. And it's one of the fruits of the Spirit, which I just love. I want to pray for you right now. And this prayer is going to encourage you. Father, in the midst of all this chaos, I ask you, Lord, let the Holy Spirit that dwelleth in us just bring great comfort to everyone that may be going through some temptations, tests, and trials, or whatever. Father, we know you have us by the hand, and we have you by the hand. And there's no other choice in the matter. You're going to guide us in all truth. I thank you for it. I believe you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You know, to me, it's a living reality to know that the Comforter is with me. You know, so that's why I'm in comfort. Now, yeah, it's amazing how many Christians, they believe in a Comforter, but they're not in comfort because they don't think, well, I just got to get beat on a little bit more before I really become seasoned. No, just let the Comforter handle that. Kathy's coming right now with some great, glorious moments. It's a great segment we love to do in this program. Kathy, take it away. Bless the people, bless me, and bless God.
Hello, and welcome to Glorious Moments. I love to give honor to God for the glorious moments in the lives of our partners and friends all around the world. Each time I share them here on the broadcast or on any of many of our other platforms, I know God is using them to reach people and change lives one soul at a time. I want to start with this testimony that says, I was in a wreck on December the 22nd, 2023. Since then, my neck, arms, and back have had severe pain. On the Thursday before the glorious conference, my doctor had given me the news that I would have to live with the pain for the rest of my life. I decided God would have to heal me, and I stopped taking my medication that Friday morning. On Saturday morning, I was in a lot of pain and went down for prayer. I was healed. Praise God. I am pain-free. Sister Kathy, thank you in the ministry for being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Love that. Here's another one that reads, I want to give God the glory and praise and honor. By Jesus' stripes, I am healed. I want to thank the JDM team for standing with me in agreement for complete healing in my left shoulder and arm. I am pain-free. I kept taking communion and standing on the Word of God. I received an email from Jesse and Kathy standing in agreement with me to be pain-free, and less than 24 hours later, I was completely pain-free. I am a living testimony to that. To God be all the glory. And here's one that we've translated into English that says, Pastor Jesse, bless you. Because of what you taught here at Columbia 2023 Convention, I learned a lot. You have shared your mantle of abundance on me, and it has been a great blessing. God has given my two babies and me great things. I love that. God bless you, and thank you for watching today. I pray that God is going to touch your life in a strong and mighty way.
Is there anything too hard for the Lord? The answer is no, there's not. In my book, Give God a Job, you will discover that our magnificent God is ready and able to fulfill every promise that He has for you. It's time to ask in faith and start living on earth as it is in heaven. Remember, if you keep God busy, He will keep you busy. Order your copy of my book, Give God a Job, today at jdm.org. I'd like to ask you a question. Have you gotten a copy of my new book, Give God a Job? Hallelujah. It's our September product offer, and it's our theme this year from Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, where God asks Abraham, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Well, no, then give me a job. This book is going to build up your faith to believe God for your miracle. Now, how do you get it? You go to jdm.org and you get your copy today. Look, let me tell you something. This will minister to you and bless you. I mean, think about that. And we asked Abraham that question. Is there anything too hard for me? You know, no. Then, bless God, by the time next year, you're going to have a son. See? That's right. God said, give me a job and see if I'll not do it. Get this today. JDM.org for all the ordering information. You'll be blessed. Partners, thank you for your faithful financial support to this ministry. I mean, my God, I've said it so many times, I got to say it again. 48 years of preaching this gospel, and we've never had a financial deficit. You know why? Because I trust you, and you trust me, and we both trust God. I will never stop saying that because, see, trust is one of the greatest gifts anyone can ever give you. And I thank you for trusting us. Well, all the chaos in the world and the church, that's something. I tell you, it's amazing. But this ministry is a holy ministry. Hallelujah. Be ye holy, for I am holy. There ain't no hidden stuff around here. You know, and a lot of people accuse me sometimes of things that I just do not do. Usually the secular world is the one to come at me because I'm a blessed man. Well, it ain't my fault. I remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth me power to get wealth. That's Deuteronomy 8:18. That's for you too. So just receive that and just let people say what they're going to say. My God, because it's not true. You walk in the truth with God, and so do I. Partners, thank you for your faithful financial support. Nothing too small, nothing too big. You know, people, I'm in the winter years of my life now. You know, I'm getting up in age and thinking I feel good and all that kind of stuff. And I get to it, and then I said, well, maybe I can just not do some of this stuff anymore. And God gives me more projects. So I need your faithful financial support to do it. And I will work till Jesus come, and it will come to pass. Thank you for being so kind. Don't miss next week, part two of Kathy's message, End Time Instructions from Jesus. Bye-bye.
Hello, I'm Kathy Duplantis, Senior Pastor of Covenant Church, a local outreach of Jesse Duplantis Ministries, and I would like to personally invite you to come and worship with us. At Covenant Church, we are called to reach everyone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are passionate about building strong families and faith-filled relationships. Services are Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. For more information, go to jdm.org/church. I look forward to seeing you soon.
What do you do when nothing's working out? Our September partner offer will answer that question. The title is, What Do You Do When Everything Goes Wrong? You can overcome the difficult circumstances of life. Anyone can when they got Jesus Christ in them. Learn to praise God in difficult times, and guess what? Victory will become yours. How do I know? Go to jdm.org to get your copy today, and you'll be blessed.
See, the Antichrist cannot be manifested while the church is here because we have authority over all the power of the devil. We are the restraining force. But the moment this restraining force is caught up in the rapture, you know, rapture is not in the Bible, we all know that, but the phrase caught up to be with him, we've talked about that so often. It's what happens. When that happens, then basically, like they say, all hell breaks loose.